This presentation brought to you in part by Fengton Industries, your partner in disaster reconstruction.
This is Argentine Gamesh, director of the Museum of the Centuries. You are listening to Channel 7, the Astor Place walking tour. Please, power down your visionaire. Where you are standing now was once a tract of barren land, a series of sand hills known as Sandbergen, supported small pitch pine and scrub oak trees, and wildlife flourished throughout the region, feeding off natural streams, ponds, and springs. But by the year 2007, nature was such an alien thing to the city of skyscrapers that a stray coyote was the subject of front page newspaper articles. Manhattan was one of the greatest urban centers in the world, an island connected to the world by tunnels, bridges, and a giant stream of data, radio waves, and electronic signals. It was brash and effete, fast and powerful. The title, New Yorker, conveyed a thousand meanings, but it was universally recognized as ambitious, cutthroat, and cultured. It was, perhaps, this isolation and sense of self-sufficiency that made it inevitable for a crash as deep as its rise in stature was tall. New York City, as it was once known, no longer exists. It is now a hub of Noglandia, a vast urban space encompassing many of the original colonial cities in one continuous state. At the Museum of the Centuries, we have decided to offer a walking tour, a mean of telling history that was outdated even in 2007. During this current surge of redevelopment and restoration of Old Greenwich Village, it is more important than ever to understand where we come from. Take your first steps of the tour toward Astor Island. Until the year 2027, this raised concrete area was surrounded by roads. Imagine metal cars, trucks, and buses careening down the avenues, puffing clouds of carbon monoxide and other toxins into the air. In 2007, there was a strong green movement, a phrase used to distinguish people who were worried about the future of the Earth's environment. Here is a fragment of an interview with a street vendor in 2007.
Like in 100 years, man, this whole place is going to be like a wasteland. It's going to be like a biological attack. And people are going to have to leave the New York City, man, because it's going to be like, you know, very, very contaminated, you know what I'm saying, with radiation and stuff like that.
Members of green groups were able to get a law passed that created an Astor Plaza free of cars. At the center of the plaza is the historic sculpture known as the Alamo exhibit. It was thought destroyed or looted during the floods of 2050. During the ensuing flight to higher ground, mostly to the now capital node of the region, Brooklyn, and budget crises, the Parks Department scaled back its maintenance of many of the parks and plazas. The Alamo was thought lost or converted into scrap metal until last year, when a rusted section was recovered by Old Greenwich Society from the Central Park tenements, where it had been stored in a mud basement for more than five decades. The divitrine shows an image of what the black sculpture once looked like. Now 30 feet from the Alamo is the Jim Powers tree, named after a street artist known in 2007 as the sole author of dozens of mosaics on street poles on the 6th anniversary of a terrorist attack, September 11th, 2001. The elder Powers planted this tree in a concrete box. Years later, the sidewalk was torn up so that the tree could be planted, and it now reaches an astonishing 65 feet. It has required 8 oxyjections by arborists to sustain it through hard times. Look now directly south, where you now see the post-flood era headquarters of Al-Qashan, was a 12-story apartment building made almost entirely of glass. Charles Guathme, the architect, called it sculpture for living. The building was part of an entire architectural school only available to us through records. This building in particular was destroyed during a hurricane of 2047. Loose bricks and metal billboards ripped through the city, shattering many of the old glass buildings. Hundreds of residents were killed. In the years after, the building was converted into one of the city's first vertical farms. With failing infrastructure, flooded subways, and a corrupted water tunnel, the remaining residents, mostly immigrant laborers, began coming up with new ways to sustain city life. Buildings and fire escapes were covered with makeshift solar panels and water collectors. Today, the Astor Building houses several floors of servers for the Region S virtuality system and a high-end restaurant, one of the first to return to the city in the last several years. Walk west toward the old subway system. Ahead is a 14-story building that was mostly apartments and small offices. On the ground floor is Starbucks, a chain that has lasted through the century's injuries. However, where a current store is fortified with titanium window frames and a small cadre of armed guards, access used to be free and open. In the crime-ridden years after the flood, the building became a central location for vice. Gambling dens, chemistry labs, and newly devised teledildonic parlors could be found on every floor. A new step for crime. The parlors allowed patrons to commit rape from 1,000 miles away without legal consequences. The Dominican revisions of 2094 empowered the local police to shut the building down. It is now home of a wholesale store on the ground floor. Walk a little further north and you'll cross a grating above the subway. Trains once rattled through tunnels that crisscrossed the city like veins and arteries, allowing for quick travel almost anywhere on Manhattan. During the fiscal crisis, the subway was sold, line by line, to private corporations. Some companies began to slump under the weight of the massive renovations needed to update the ancient system. And when the floods hit in 52, many of the tunnels were in such bad shape that they simply collapsed. Afterward, the tunnels became corridors for an informal boat system. Last year's federal grant, part of the Eastern Coast Revival Bill, dedicated funds to restoring a train service on at least the Lexington Avenue line. On a warm night, large, boisterous crowds made their way through Astor Plaza toward nightlife establishments and restaurants in the East Village. Street musicians would have played on street corners for tips. All mountainous land, barren only 300 years before, were people, new buildings, and commerce. Decades later, all that changed, and the area, a historical gem, fell into disrepair and became a haven of crime. Until recently, residents of this hub knew Astor Plaza only as the place to get jumped or witness thousands of purists congregate for their rallies. But today, as the entire region begins to pick up, antique footage from the old days has started to return to the news streams. Interest in our historical roots has returned. This is Argentine Garnesh, director of the Museum of the Centuries. Thank you for listening.